May it please the court, I'm Scott Michael John, 43001, appearing on behalf of the appellants, Mrs. Hoff. This case is really a pretty straightforward case, factually. What happened was, Patricia Hoff owned the house that she rented out. It had hail damage, so she wanted to get a roof fixed. She went and hired a company called Alliance Roofing to fix the roof. Alliance then, as part of their obligation to fix the roof, hired a subcontractor, MDR Roofing. But before they allowed MDR Roofing to start doing any work on the house, they asked for a certificate of insurance verifying that they were in fact covered for workers' compensation. They received that certificate of insurance from the agent for Pinnacle Assurance, Bradley Insurance, and relying on that, allowed MDR to work on the roof. But prior to starting to work on the roof, MDR didn't pay their premiums, they got canceled according to law, but nobody notified Alliance or Hoff of that fact. So they allowed MDR to go forward with the contract. During the process of repairing the roof, the claimant on the underlying workers' compensation case, Kern Hernandez, fell, was seriously injured, incurring extraordinary medical bills and injuries, which now, according to the administrative law judge, Hoff is liable for as the landowner, as a statutory employer under Colorado law.
Before the injury, did Hoff ever see the certificate of insurance?
Not personally, but she did through her agent. I mean, she had hired Alliance Roofing to do the job for her and relied upon Alliance to, in fact, do this. She's just a housewife. She wouldn't know what she would need or how to do this or how even to begin. And so she picked somebody that she thought was competent.
So you contend Alliance was an agent for Hoff?
Absolutely.
For all purposes or just some limited purpose?
Well, with regard to the repair of this roof, for all purposes.
A contractor is an agent of the owner of the property under a construction contract?
I don't think so under these circumstances, because they're the ones making sure that the statutory provisions are being complied with, that all of the conditions are being made, and that the property is being repaired properly. And so in that, you trust your agent to do all of those things for you. I think that they have the authority to do that.
Even if they weren't an agent, did Ms. Hoff try and get an assignment of whatever rights Alliance had so that she could pursue this action in Alliance's name?
Well, not that I'm aware of, although I can tell you that Alliance has disappeared. They've not been part of this action since the hearing in this matter, and so there is an actual underlying district court case still going on, and they're not a part of that either.
Because it seems to me that that first comp case is the case that you have to get around, and you could get around it perhaps better if you had an assignment of some kind from Alliance saying, you have the right to assert my rights because I'm jointly liable with you.
Well, but still, even in the first comp case, what was happening there was not even to an agent was there any privity under the insurance contract. What happened in that situation was that they were trying to get Pinnacle's termination of the underlying policy to be found invalid under law because they didn't get proper notice. And they had no contract with Pinnacle. First Comp didn't work at that statutory employer. That was only a contract between the underlying direct employer and Pinnacle. And so they're trying to step into the shoes in that situation. Here, because you have the certificate of insurance that's issued, and it's issued to Hoff or through her agent, now all of a sudden there's privity. There's a new promise. There's a new agreement that there's coverage there, and that we won't cancel that coverage until we tell them. And when they didn't tell them, that's what's stopping them now from denying that coverage, was that new promise, that new agreement which they entered into directly.
Do you have any authority that supports your argument that Alliance was an agent of Hoff?
I don't have any direct cases on point that I cited in my brief, no. So again, that's that point, is that this, to prevent this manifest injustice, that's what this court has to do, is that it has to determine that that policy of insurance has to remain in effect. And I agree that there's no way MDR can sit here and argue that the policy cancellation was void or invalid or in any way improper. It was proper. People followed all the rules. So we're not trying to stand in the shoes of MDR. We're not trying to raise a defense that MDR has to the cancellation of the policy, which is what happened in the other cases. What we're saying here is that there was a promise made to Hoff, and that promise was breached, and that's where this action comes from. It's that that is stopping them from being able to deny the policy. And in that, if we get to that point and find that the promissory estoppel applies, then the standing issue is out. There's no issue on the standing because it is a direct action. The case law is stating that the promissory estoppel is a direct cause. It is a direct breach and a direct injury to that person. And we don't need to show all those other tests of statutory harm or any of the rest of that because it's a basic contract action.
Can an indirect promissory bring a promissory estoppel action?
I think under the terms here, you could. Because Hoff was relying upon Alliance as their agent to take care of all of the things necessary that this job was done correctly. And in that reliance, then, when Alliance then relied upon the certificate of insurance that they received, then I think that endures to Hoff. It has to, under equity. Otherwise, you know, every homeowner that's in the situation that hires somebody else to do this is going to be in the same situation. And unfortunately, under Colorado Workers' Comp, this happens all the time, that subcontractors, especially in roofing cases, show up for the day of the injury and then they're gone. You know, that would, you know, clearly defeat what the purpose of this is. The other part of this is that, you know, under the overall statutory scheme, you know, the idea of this is that, yeah, the landowner is the one that's ultimately responsible, and they're ultimately responsible because they're presumed to be the ones that are the most financially viable, that they're the ones that are going to be there, they own the property, they're going to stick around. And so when you look at all of those conditions under the statutory employer provisions, both paragraphs 1, 2, 3, and 4, 841, 401, 402, 403, 404. Reading all of those in context, you see that statutory employers are liable, the landowner is ultimately liable for damages to real property. But in paragraph 4, it then says that you can kind of meet these obligations by making sure that you have a certificate of insurance that's issued. And I think that evidence is this legislative intent that although the landowner is ultimately liable, there are things that they can do to limit that liability, and that's what Hoff did here also. So even though that's not a necessary element for her to have standing, I think it shows what the legislative intent of this entire area of law is.
Are there any statutory requirements of or for a certificate of insurance under the Workers' Comp Act?
Not that I'm aware of.
Do you contend that the certificate of insurance that was issued here meets whatever requirements are inherent in the statute regarding a certificate of insurance?
Well, the statute talks about the contract of insurance is subject to the Act, and it provides for basic terms of any contract of insurance and what it has to provide coverage for. Now, obviously, the Pinnacle policy covers all of those terms. I'm not aware of anything specific that says that a certificate of insurance has to do anything beyond that. I didn't find any statutory reference to that or anything else. But it's clear on the face of this, you know, that this certificate of insurance said on its face that there is a policy of insurance that's there, and that if it's canceled or changed, we'll notify you. That's that contract, that's that agreement, that's the provision. And that also is different than the other case cited by the Industrial Claims Appeals Office, which their certificate there said, this is informational only, do not rely upon this. This can change at any moment and we can have no liability for any change to this. Under those circumstances, clearly the petitioner or the person that's claiming that the promise was made had no reasonable reason to rely on that certificate. It was clearly informational only. It was not a binding agreement. This one was an agreement, and it was relied upon.
But this certificate does say this certificate is issued as a matter of information only and confers no rights upon the certificate holder. Isn't that analogous to the certificates that were addressed by the court in the other cases you're talking about?
Well, the language that I'm relying upon is the language that is in the certificate that said, should any of the above described policies be canceled before the expiration date thereof, notice will be given in accordance with the policy provisions.
And you read that as notice to the certificate holder?
Correct.
Because that's notice to the insurer.
Right, this certificate was issued to Alliance. It wasn't issued generally to anybody that might be out there. It wasn't issued to NDR Roofing to be able to show as evidence. This was issued on its face to Alliance, the agent for Hoff. So, Again, so that's really what this thing comes down to, is that question of whether this can create that agreement, that contract. And I think that it does. I think under these circumstances, Hoff had a reason to rely on Alliance to do the job correctly, but in that, they became her agent, and for that, they then could rely upon that certificate. And when that failed, Pinnacle is now stopped from being able to deny coverage. I'd like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you.
At this court, I'm Harvey Fluon, registration number 22605, representing the respondent Pinnacle Assurance. First thing I want to address is the new issue of whether Alliance was an agent of Hoff. This is the first, in Hoff's reply brief, this is the first time this issue was raised. I believe it was waived by virtue of not being raised below. Other than that, I want to talk about the provision of the certificate of insurance. Number one,
Mr. Fluellinger, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Could we just stay on that for just a moment on the issue of agency? In an ordinary contract setting where somebody engages a general contractor, they probably don't say anything about you're my agent or anything else. But yet we know that if the contractor makes purchases and doesn't pay for them, the property can be liened because of the relationship between the contractor and the owner and the mechanics lien statute. So are there some circumstances in the law where you don't have to actually say, you're my agent, for there to be an agency relationship that would arise regardless?
I believe, yes, I think there could be circumstances. But in this case, Mrs. Hoff testified she believed that Alliance was performing the work on her roof by itself. She had no idea that MBR existed, nor that Alliance was contracting out the work to be done. So the evidence in this case shows that Hoff didn't intend Alliance to act as an agent for hiring other subcontractors to perform the work.
If Pinnacle had given notice to Alliance, do you think it's foreseeable that that notice would have trickled down to Hoff?
What was the question again? Was it conceivable?
Foreseeable.
Oh, foreseeable. If the notice was provided to Alliance of the cancellation of the policy, yes, I guess it would be foreseeable. But I wanted to point out the provision in the notice of certificate of insurance, which Mr. Micklejohn pointed out, which said, should any of the above described policies be canceled before the expiration date thereof, notice will be given in accordance with the policy provisions. In Hoff's brief, they acknowledge the policy issued by Pinnacle is silent on the question of notice to certificate holders. It only provides for notice of cancellation to the policy holder, and as the ALJ found below, the notice of cancellation was properly made to the MBI, the policy holder. And that was the extent of the obligation in the certificate of insurance. If that's going to be read as a of an obligation to provide notice of cancellation, it only refers back to the policy that it goes to the policy holder.
How is a property owner supposed to protect themselves under your understanding of the law and the terms of the certificate of liability insurance? What is a property owner supposed to do to protect themselves from exactly what has befallen the Hoffs?
Well, number one, the Hoffs were in the business of renting out property. They weren't your homeowner getting their roof fixed for their home. This is a rental property. I believe there was insurance involved to pay for the I think it was hail damage on the roof. Number one, they should have made sure that Alliance had insurance. That's the first problem here, is that the general contractor, to avoid any liability, merely needed to get workers' comp coverage for itself. And that's what they should have done, but that wasn't done.
They should have themselves procured a policy of workers' comp insurance?
Yes, Alliance, as a general contractor, should have procured
No, I know, but my question is, what's the owner supposed to do? I mean, would it have been sufficient for the owner to obtain from the broker a certificate of insurance showing that there was workers' comp liability insurance? Would that have been sufficient?
Not necessarily, based on the wording of the certificate, which basically only means that there's coverage on the date that certificate is issued. It doesn't, and again, the note, it does not provide for notice of cancellation except to the policyholder. So to protect themselves, the Hoffs could have gotten their own policy. That's why they're held liable as an uninsured employer or uninsured landowner. They could have gotten their own policy of workers' comp insurance. So that would be another way to protect themselves.
It sounds like that's the only way, really, they could have protected themselves.
The only way, probably guarantee it, yes.
Because the way you read your certificate of liability insurance, it's basically a meaningless document.
It's only meaningful on the day it's issued, I believe, based on the Broderick case.
Do homeowners who rent out their homes and have work on their homes, do they customarily get their own policies of workers' compensation?
I don't know.
Yeah. Thank you.
So the typical policy, which was on Exhibit A of the record, page 561, talks about mailing notice to the policyholder at their mailing address regarding cancellation of the policy. The ALJ found that cancellation was proper, and counsel for the House acknowledges that.
Counsel, why doesn't the doctrine of equitable subrogation allow the Hoffs to stand in the shoes of Alliance?
I'm not sure what you mean by subrogation. They potentially could stand in the shoes of Alliance if there was some duty that Pinnacle had or even Bradley had that was breached here. And I think that's the gist of this, is that there was no duty that was actually breached. So Alliance had no claim, in my opinion. There was no duty.
That's because of the way you read the certificate of insurance.
The insurance and the policy and the case law, the broader case.
Well, the broader case wasn't a workers' comp case, was it?
No, it was not.
And the broader case didn't come in a situation where there's a specific recognition by statute of certificates of insurance. Am I correct in that?
I'm not sure whether broader involved the statute or not on the recognition of the certificate. But that brings up the next good issue as far as the statute cited by the Hoffs regarding in construction work providing for a certificate, proof of insurance, which is what the statute says, proof of insurance or actual coverage, which governs direct contracts. So if there's a duty to provide proof of insurance, it would have been MVR's duty to provide the proof to Alliance, not to the Hoffs. That was not a direct contract. And again, the agency issue was not raised at the hearing level or even at the ICO level.
Is there a statutory definition for direct contract?
Not that I'm aware of, Your Honor. That's pointed out by Judge Berger. The certificate is also specifically stated, as it did in the broader case, that the certificate was issued as a matter of information only and confers no rights upon the certificate holder. So if Alliance has no rights, the Hoffs have no rights.
But why would someone go to the trouble of getting a certificate of insurance that has no validity or no impact whatsoever? Isn't that a totally useless act?
I think it often could be, but That's the standard practice in the industry to at least initially find out if there's coverage. The certificate, I think, is good on the day it's issued, but
on the minute it's issued.
Possibly on the minute it's issued.
I mean, if the statute requires a certificate of insurance, if we're interpreting the statute, we have to avoid absurd results. If the certificate of insurance is valid for 10 seconds, wouldn't that be an absurd result to construe the certificate of insurance to be ephemeral?
It would be if the certificate says something other than, if the certificate said, we will notify the certificate holder of any cancellation or any change in the details. If there's a duty that's assumed in that certificate, then that would be a breach of that duty that was assumed, but here that wasn't the case.
So let's ask the question a different way. Is the language disclaiming any responsibility to notify anybody or disclaiming that anybody's bound by this certificate of insurance? Is that void against public policy because it, as Judge Berger said, does absolutely nothing?
Well, I don't think it's disclaiming everything. It certainly says notice of cancellation will be given pursuant to the terms of the policy. I think, you know, certificates of insurance have been in existence for a long time, and I'm not aware of any case that, and the form used in this case is the typical form you see in the industry, and I'm not aware of any case that this said that these certificates are void against public policy, or even that maybe that issue hasn't even been raised. I don't recall seeing that issue.
Do you ask the same question I asked Mr. Micheljohn? Can an indirect promisee bring and have standing to bring a promissory estoppel case under the law of Colorado?
I don't see how they can without the intent of parties, you know, that this indirect promissory be a third-party beneficiary of the contract. And here, I think kind of it goes to the standing issue where under the first comp case where another insurer is not deemed to have any legally protected interest, and I think that's the case here with the landowner being far removed from the policy with MDR, not a direct contract with Hoff, and that's what the statute talks about, is the proof being given to the direct contracting parties.
How could the Hoffs, who have now liability for $300,000 or something like that, not be economically harmed sufficient to give them standing?
The question is whether there's a provision of law that gives them that protection.
Well, that's one inquiry, but that's not the only inquiry. I mean, there's a statutory standard, but apart from the statutory standard, you acknowledge, don't you, that they've been economically harmed?
Yes, they've been held liable in this case, so certainly.
So is that ordinarily not sufficient to give you the right to pursue a claim?
I don't believe that in and of itself would be sufficient. I think there has to be I'm sure there's cases where there's economic harm to people where they're not protected by statute or rules or regulations.
Well, that would go to the merits of the case. For example, if there was no duty owed in a tort context, you lose. Maybe at the motion to dismiss stage, maybe a trial. But in terms of the right to actually initiate the action, doesn't somebody who suffers an economic harm attributable to, they say, the conduct of another have a right to, and they've got a theory, promissory estoppel or equitable estoppel, come into court and say, hey, I've got a claim here. I mean, to dismiss on standing seems kind of unusual to me.
If you look at the first comp case,
yeah,
first
comp, that troubles me too. Yeah,
first comp was economically damaged by the circumstances of the cancellation of the Pinnacle policy. So I think that's why I'm saying I don't see a real
first comp didn't involve a certificate of insurance. issued to anyone in the chain of work, did it?
That's correct.
Isn't that a substantial distinction between First Comp and the facts here?
It could be. I mean, First Comp dealt solely with whether the first insurer could challenge a cancellation, or whether First Comp could challenge Pinnacle's cancellation merely on whether the cancellation was pursuant to the cancellation statute. So yeah, we're talking about a slightly different issue, I agree. But again, as found by, as the ICAO found, Mrs. Hoff wasn't even aware of NDR's existence, wasn't aware that Alliance was contracting out the work. She thought that Alliance was performing the work. In reality, she was not relying on the certificate of insurance. And even if she was, the certificate does not provide for notice of cancellation to the certificate holder. So for the questions, I ask that you affirm the decision of the ICAO. Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, there's some interesting arguments that were raised about this with regards to exactly what was going here. I mean, even though Hoff didn't know exactly how the roof was going to be repaired, that's exactly what the agency is about. She hired somebody to take care of that, was going to hire subcontractors. She obviously didn't know where the nails were going to be bought, where the roofing shingles were going to be procured from, how the roof was going to be cleared off or scraped. She didn't know how to do any of that.
Do you agree that the first time you raised the agency issue was in your reply brief?
First time I raised it was the first time it was raised as an issue as being a bar to the equitable estoppel claim. So it was in reply to an issue that was raised. So up until that time, I didn't realize that was an issue. I thought that was assumed based upon the facts of this case, that agency was, not a question. And under those circumstances, because Hoff clearly was the one that was injured and clearly was the one that had relied upon Alliance to take care of this, that as acting as her agent, notice to her agent was clearly notice to her, and that we didn't have to prove any direct knowledge on her part. She's a third-party beneficiary. That's exactly what this would be about. She's the one ultimately liable. She's the landowner. Under our statutory scheme, everything else fails, it's the landowner that's liable. And so, clearly, by all the other parties' notice, they would have had it. The other thing that's important to note is on the certificate of insurance, counsel was saying that it was just that there was a policy in effect on that day. But reading the document on the four corners, it's much more than that. What it says is that the certificate doesn't create any new insurance policy, doesn't create any conditions or changes in the policy, and can't extend coverage when that exists. We're not claiming that. We're saying that this certificate did exactly what it said, which is on the day that it was issued, there's a policy, and that this was a valid policy. But reading farther down, it also says that policy is going to be in effect for a year. And then getting down to the final one, where it says that who it was, the certificate was issued to, the certificate holder, there's where it says about cancellation. And it's talking about cancellation next to the certificate holder. How else would you interpret that, but then to mean that that was intended to be directed to the certificate holder? It's in the same box. That this is modifying that language above, which is general, saying that if we're going to cancel this, then that's the one that's applying. And unfortunately, I didn't argue it in my brief, but I mean, the doctrine of contra preferendum would apply here too, that they're the ones that drafted this document. It's an insurance document, it's held against them. Those ambiguities would be held against them. So clearly, under these circumstances, the only way to avoid this injustice, and the only way to get harmony to the legislative intent, is to hold Pinnacle liable. You know, the testimony at the hearing, I didn't argue it in my brief, but in the record, Pinnacle said that when they issue a certificate, they do notify everybody that issued was received a copy of that certificate of that cancellation. But, Lori Boder for the insurance agency didn't. She just filed it and put it away.
Where in the record is that testimony that Pinnacle normally notifies holders of the certificates?
I have to find it actually in my brief here. I don't have it offhand.
It's cited in your brief?
I don't know if it was cited in my brief, because if there wasn't an issue that had come up before. But I know that that's in the record that we had as part of it. So again, what we're really getting down to is a fairly straightforward case. People work through their agents. Obviously, Pinnacle operated through its agent of, you know, their insurance agency who issued the certificate of insurance here. Hoff was acting through her agent, which was Alliance Insurance. That's how modern business is done. Obviously, people have a right to expect that their agents are going to do it. And as you mentioned, Your Honor, you know, clearly any payment that wasn't made on the policy or on the building or anything else also would have come back to her, even though Alliance was the one that purchased the roofing materials. If they didn't pay for them, there would have been a lien filed on the property. And, you know, clearly they would have been liable for any actions of Alliance that Alliance didn't take care of with regard to that. And that also applies to this. You know, the one thing that Alliance, you know, if they would have had their own coverage, sure, that might have preceded this, but that's not what the facts were. The facts were that Alliance relied upon that certificate to make sure that the people that were actually on the premises doing the work were going to be covered for workers' comp. If there's nothing further, thank you for the court for your time.
Thank you. Thank you both for your arguments this afternoon. The case will stand submitted. We'll get you a written opinion in due course.